Somebody said it was better late than never, and somebody else said it was better to be never late. I think I have managed just about in time. There we go. I want to read a number of verses tonight, beginning in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7 and at verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, over to John chapter 14, please. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And reading at verse number 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A verse in Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Finally, in the little book of Jude, the little book of Jude, and at verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now that's all I want to read, and we trust in God for blessing upon the reading of his word. The subject of these verses, which we have read this evening, could be well summed up in another verse, which I might have read from the Old Testament in the little book of Haggai. And there the prophet, encouraging the people to do what was right before God, said, consider your ways. And it is the way of life and death which really is the content of these verses that we have read this evening. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about a broad road or a broad way, and many people who travel upon it. It represents to us the crowded way. In the little book of Jude, the Spirit speaks through Jude the prophet and declares a woe unto them that go in the way of Cain. That's the condemned way. Then in John 14, we have a man who is a bit mixed up and he's confused about the way, and he is asking, how can we know the way? And then in Acts chapter 9, we have read about those whom Paul persecuted before his conversion, the people of this way. That's the Christian way. For a few moments this evening, I want us to consider our ways. An individual might think it strange that we should ask them to stop on the road of life and consider their ways, to give thought to the direction in which they are travelling. Because if that person is a stranger to the grace of God and unacquainted with the message of salvation, it may well be that that person and someone like that could listen to my voice this evening and be convinced in their own hearts that there is nothing wrong with the way that they are living, the way that they are travelling, the direction in which they are going. However, when we come to the Bible tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it makes it abundantly clear for us that there is a right way and a wrong way to take in life. And consequently, there is a good end or an evil end in eternity. You see, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 talked about a big road, broad road, a busy road. There were many travellers upon it. And then he talked about a narrow road with not so many who find it, and a road that's possibly and probably not as popular as the other one. The broad road, said Jesus, leads to destruction. The narrow road to everlasting bliss. And I would ask each person listening to my voice this evening, not only in the immediate audience but further afield, what road are you travelling on today? What direction is your life taking? You know, if you were to interview people in general today and ask them which road they felt was the one best to travel on, probably the majority of people would say the broad road. Because without giving thought to the end of it, they would be impressed with the fact that that's the road on which the majority of people are journeying. But then you see, you have to realize that because the majority are going a certain direction, believing certain things, behaving in certain manners, it does not necessarily follow that the majority is always right. In fact, In this case, the majority are totally wrong. There was a question put to the Lord Jesus on one occasion. And the question was, Lord, are there few that be saved? And you'll notice if you read the passage that the Lord didn't give a direct answer with regard to the numbers. But to the person who asked the question, he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. In other words, what Jesus was saying was, don't be impressed by the multitude. Don't be swayed by public opinion. Don't be influenced by what the crowd is doing. Make up your mind to go in for God's salvation. And irrespective of who may miss it, make sure that your heart and your soul is right with God. Because you see, this matter of salvation is a very personal matter. It's something which the individual must face on their own before the Lord. Now, I know there have been meetings at times when large numbers of people get saved. For example, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls. But you know, they weren't mass converted. Every single one had to make their own personal decision. When we are born into this world, we are every one of us born on the broad road. And as we journey through life and come to a sense of accountability, everyone has got to make a personal choice to either remain on the broad road and end up in hell, or change direction through faith in Christ to travel on the narrow road and end up in heaven. There was a little bit of piece of poetry I used to hear preachers quoting many years ago, and it said this: two roads before you lie, and you a choice must make. One takes you upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. It is a fact that every one of us, travelers in time, are destined for eternity. And in less than 100 years from now, we will either be in the glory of heaven or the gloom of a lost eternity. You know, as we think about that broad road, I was thinking about it coming up to the meeting this evening as I was driving on the motorway. And there were two lanes on the motorway. You know, the broad road is a two-lane road. There's a clean side and there's a filthy side. And the enemy of souls, the devil, will encourage you to remain on the broad road. But he really doesn't care whether you travel on the filthy lane or on the clean lane. Amen. You know, there are many people in society today who regard themselves as being respectable, decent people, church-going people, Many of them will have met in places today where they will have recited what is called the Apostles' Creed. Some of them will have sung in choirs. Some of them will even have preached on pulpits. But the fact is that although they haven't gone to the same excess of riot as other people in society, if they haven't been to Jesus for the cleansing power, if they haven't, as we have sung about this evening, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are just as much guilty and as much on the road to ruin as the murderer, the gambler, the immoral person, the terrorist, whoever you care to mention. There are many people today who are deluded, who are deceived, because the god of this world, the devil, has blinded their mind to the truth of God. You remember when the Lord Jesus was here on earth? He was constantly approached by religious leaders that sought to oppose him, scribes and Pharisees. And one day he condemned them several times over as being hypocrites. And then he said this. He said, "How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" These were men of the cloth. On another occasion, they tried to interview him. They tried to find fault with him. And they said, "Well, you know, we are Abraham's children, so therefore we have the right to the blessings of God." And Jesus, very pointedly, said to them these words, "That ye are of your father, the devil." There are many people today, of course, if you talk to them like that, they would be highly offended. They would tell you you are hate preaching. But nevertheless, we have to stand by the truth of the Word of God. We have been born wrong. We are traveling in the wrong direction. And unless there is a transformation and a saving change, that broad road, even the respectable side, will end up in a lost eternity. In fact, the Lord Jesus taught that there's more chance of those who travel on the filthy side getting saved than those who travel on the clean side. And he put it like this. He said that the tax collectors and the prostitutes would get into heaven before the scribes and Pharisees. Why was that, you say? Well, quite simply, those people didn't need to be told that they were on the filthy side. They were fully aware of their sin and guilt. They knew they needed to be forgiven. They knew they needed to be saved. Whereas the other class of people, they thought, "Well, I'm not as bad as everybody else. I've done a lot of commendable things. And surely in the final analysis, God will look favorably upon me." In the great day of reckoning, God will have to say to such people, in the words of Daniel's prophecy, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." are so often, and probably many times here, referred to those two men who went up to the temple to pray. One of them was a publican, tax collector, despised by the people, deceitful in his dealings, a man who was given to crookedness and corruption. He knew his need, and so did everybody else. And see the other man, he's a religious leader, teacher of the people, supposed to be an example of godliness, strutting around in his robes and saying long prayers to be heard of men. So he begins to pray in the temple. Lord, I thank thee I'm not like other men are. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. On the positive side, I fast twice a week, deny myself of food for the glory of God or for the sake of others. I give tithes, a tenth of all that I possess, give my money to the church, to charities, and so forth. And then he looks across the temple court and he sees this publican standing afar off. And the man is so ashamed of his sin that he can't even lift up his face to God. And with bowed head, he smites upon his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. So Jesus commented on the story. And he said it was the publican who went home justified rather than the other. You see, the point is that both men were travelling on the same road. And both men were heading to the same hell. The publican was aware of his danger, and he turned to God for salvation. The other man was totally unaware, and unless he changed at a later date and repented, hell from beneath would be moved to meet him at his coming. So let's not fool ourselves by thinking that because we haven't done any of what men call the great sins, that we are more favourable toward God, because that is not the case. The Bible says, the Bible says that with God there is no difference. You get that very clearly in the first three chapters of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, as we all know, deals with the immoral conduct of society. And Romans chapter 2 deals with the self-righteous, religious type of person. And when we come into Romans chapter 3, the judge passes sentence upon both. And the sentence of the court of heaven is that there's no difference between the one and the other, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, we often say that we don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We have each been born wrong. And as Jesus taught that great religious leader Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is an impossibility for a traveller on the crowded road, even a respectable religious traveller, to end up in heaven, because the broad road onto which we have been born leads to destruction. And if there are only two roads, remember, there are also only two destinations. Some will tell us there's a third one, where man can be purified on the other side and eventually made fit for heaven. I was going to say I don't know who originated that. I do actually, but it's too long a story to go into tonight. But it was a doctrine originated to accumulate financial funds for the Church of Rome. And it's a doctrine of demons. As far as the forgiveness of sins is concerned, you either get it in this life or you don't get it at all. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. When you go beyond the boundary of earth, it's either heaven or hell forever and ever. Now, if there was no afterlife and nothing beyond the grave, we could afford to indulge on the pleasures of the broad road. And don't be fooled about it. There's lots of pleasures to be had. You know, our brother was reminding us in prayer, before we were saved, some of us were addicted to the music business, and some to alcohol, some to various kinds of vices. And there was a certain amount of pleasure to be found in it, let's be honest. But then the problem was that the pleasure of sin is only for a season. And when the pleasure's passed, the penalty has got to be paid. As Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish Church of Ireland, Church of Scotland preacher, said on one occasion, when you look back from a lost eternity on the pleasures of the world and of sin that kept you from Christ, in the horrors of a lost eternity, you'll acknowledge that that was a miserable kind of pleasure. A pleasure like a pleasure with a sting in the tail like a scorpion that will torment you forever and forever and forever. And so it is because of the end in view that we need to consider the road on which we travel. You see, there was a man in the book of the Psalms, and one day he began to focus on the ungodly around him. And he thought to himself, you know, they're not in trouble like other people are. They don't have the same pressures. Don't seem to have the same problems. Seem to have a lot more pleasure. And he admits that as he meditated upon it, that his steps had well nigh slipped and his feet had well nigh gone. But he got into the presence of God, and he began to see things from God's perspective. And he said this: when I got into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. And that made all the difference. A few years of pleasure on the broad road, the end of eternal ruin. A life lived for Christ on the narrow road, not always the easiest life. Sometimes an uphill struggle. Sometimes you'll be misrepresented, misunderstood, misinterpreted. Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. You can even find that your enemies can be they of your own household. But at the end of the journey, it's an eternity of bliss. You see, Bert put it in prayer tonight again. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's what it's all about. The Lord Jesus put it another way. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and in the final analysis he loses his own soul? We're thinking about the two men who went up to the temple. Two other men in Luke 16. One of them was filthy rich, plenty of friends, good food, big house, lots of money, lots of feasting. Everything seemed to be in his favor. The day came when he had to depart. God called him from time into eternity. The pleasure's all behind him now. It's past, it's gone, it's of no value. Where is he? In hell. He lifted up.